The Green Bay Packers' regular season kicks off on Sunday as they take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in Florida. Many sports analysts are predicting a strong season for the Green and Gold, including Pete Doherty. He's a longtime Packers columnist with the Green Bay Press Gazette. I recently talked with him about this year's Packers. Of course, we had to start with this week's news that the team cut Pro Bowl left guard Josh Sitton. So I'm wondering, maybe first we should talk about the biggest news this week. One of the biggest surprises was when we heard that Josh Sitton was released from the team. You know, I read your article on it. You called this move sort of Lombardi-like on Ted Thompson's half. But how else do you summarize what's going on here?
Yeah, it was it really came out of the blue. I've been covering the team since '93, and I'd have to say it's probably the most surprising cut that I can remember. But then after checking around, talking to some people in the league, I got an understanding of why they did it. They, you know, he's and it's Lombardi-like, it's Belichick-like, in that those guys are always turning their roster over. When guys start showing decline, they replace them. They just they move on, and that's the way of the NFL, and that's the way it does a couple of things. It sends a message to the team that basically anybody and everybody is expendable, so you better be on your toes. And I think they got rid of a guy who was going to become a problem in the locker room because of the contractual issues. He had wanted a contract extension, and the Packers were talking to younger guys. He was a 30-year-old guy. He was a good player. In fact, he had been, a couple of years before that, he was, maybe one of the best couple guards in the league. He was second-team All-Pro last season. But with, especially with offensive line, and the way these things work is, you hit the top of – you're one of the best guys at your position, and then maybe a year or two later you make the Pro Bowl and you get All-Pro. And then when you start going downhill a little bit, you still get All-Pro and Pro Bowl, even though you might not deserve it because you're a big name. And so that's what was going on with Sitton. He was still a good player and a really good pass protector, but, they felt like he was a guy who was starting to decline, and they've got a guy, Lane Taylor, that they feel okay about and that they think is better than, outsiders think, and that by the end of the season, the difference between the two won't be that great. And they got rid of a guy who they thought, because the contract thing, was going to be a big issue in the locker room and cause problems for him. So in a nutshell, that's why they did it. And it's Lombardi-like because his history out throughout the 60s was to get rid of a lot of those really good players who, once they hit their 30s, he either benched them or cut them or traded them. And he was pretty ruthless about it. People don't really realize that because of all the success he had and how much love, a lot of those players expressed for him. But, he was a ruthless personnel guy, and it's the kind of move Bill Belichick makes routinely out in New England, too.
So what do you think this means for the offensive line this season? Because, those players were pretty tight on and off the field. Do you see them, this being an issue of keeping their emotions in check, or is this just something that they, you have to deal with every single year?
Yeah, it's the latter, but it's going to be, I'm sure this was a really rough week for them. It was like, with the offensive linemen, you're right. That's always a close-knit group, and it was like somebody died. It really was for those guys. But, they'll get over it as the season goes on, and, it could be a rough first month of the season because, the chemistry won't be as good either. Simply for the fact that Lane Taylor hasn't played all the snaps with all the starters that Sitton has. So, it could be rough. And I just, as an example, basically Belichick did the same thing with a guy named Logan Mankins in 2014. He was a multiple-time Pro Bowler and All-Pro, and he traded them to Tampa Bay in 2014, right before the season started, just like this. And New England started out 2-2, and I'm sure the fans who thought that was a bad move were just, raising a real ruckus about, look at what a horrible mistake it was. You know how it is after a loss. So they're 2-2. I'm sure it was, disaster. And what happens? The Patriots go on and win the Super Bowl that year. So, I'm not predicting the Packers to win the Super Bowl, but in the end, I just don't see how this move is going to be the difference between whether they do or not win a Super Bowl, unless Lane Taylor's just a disaster at guard and they can't find any other options as the season goes on.
Is this, in a way, a turning point for the Packers' long-term strategy, maybe the way that general manager Ted Thompson's looking at how he's stacking the team, freeing up some of these older players and signing younger players as they move forward?
Yeah, they always, and that's, if you look at his history, I mean, this is, football is a really young man's game. George Young, who was a really well-known GM for the New York Giants in the 80s, he had a saying that football, and then 72, he has a saying that football is like the Marines, the younger the better. They like really young guys because they're hungrier, their bodies are more resilient. So, you know, Seattle, not a team rebuilding, you know, they've got the long history of a good program out there. They kept 15 rookies, I think, this year. Thompson always has one of the three or four youngest rosters in the league. It's just, it's the way he likes to operate. He likes to have young teams, and, you know, you bring up all these young guys, and you the ones who turn out to be the best ones, you sign them to a second contract, and everybody else, when their contracts run up, you let them go, and you have more guys coming up the pipeline, and that's just, that's kind of the ruthless world of the NFL, in a sense, you know. Almost every player is dispensable. I mean, the Packers have one indispensable guy, and that's Aaron Rodgers.
And, of course, the other big story as this season is coming to a beginning is the return of Jordy Nelson. I'm wondering if you can talk about that and just the major difference that we may or may not see with him being back, and maybe how, you know, his addition could help diversify the other receivers that are out there on the field.
Yeah, he obviously makes a huge difference for Randall Cobb. We saw that last season, 2 years ago. Cobb catches, he was at least in the 80s for catches, and might even been low 90s. And, you know, then last year, without Nelson, occupying defenses, stretching defenses, getting double covered more, Cobb's numbers go way down. So obviously he makes a huge difference for Cobb. There's a domino effect there for everybody gets a little better when he's on the field. Now, the thing is that I really don't have any feel for is how good Nelson's going to be this year. He didn't practice until the last 2 weeks of camp, and the first of those 2 weeks was just individual stuff, so he wasn't even doing team, you know, 11-on-11. The second week he did some, but it wasn't like he was doing a lot. He made a few catches downfield. He looked pretty decent, but he didn't do a lot of snaps, so we won't know till, you know, we probably should reserve judgment until at least a month into the season or so, how he's doing, how he's looking. But if he's anything close to what he was before he got hurt, then he'll make a huge difference.
What about the defense? How are you feeling about how the team has filled out that roster?
So it looks to me like their secondary is really good and really deep. They put a lot of resources there in the last couple of years with high draft picks. And, you know, those guys are starting, you know, they've been around for a couple of years now, so they're getting close to their prime. And I think that's going to be a real strength of the team. I think that gives them a chance to be a little better on defense than they were last year. I think they were 15th in yards last season, which is, you know, right in the middle of the league. And, you know, that's good enough. If you're a really good offensive team like they should be, then that should be good enough to give you, you know, as good a shot as anybody at winning the Super Bowl. If they can become a top 10 defense, then their chances go up a little more. And, you know, I could see him maybe slipping in the top 10 with, depending on, the health will be really huge there because their depth, especially on the defensive line, isn't there. So if they lose a couple guys there, then they could have some real problems. But if those guys stay healthy, it looks to me like there's at least a chance the defense could be, you know, half a notch or even a little more, better this season. And, you know, that would, you know, improve their odds, obviously, for winning a title.
So I've read a couple articles that have talked about how the Packers have what is described as an easy schedule this year. Is that something you agree with? And what exactly does that really mean, you know, long term?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. And that is kind of relative, even an easy schedule in
sure.
the NFL. It's not like it's that easy.
But right.
Yeah, on paper, they had the easiest schedule in the league based on teams' records last season. Now, the one thing is it always turns out where there's a team or two that are better than way better than they were the previous year. There's also going to be a team or two that are probably a lot worse than they were last season. And, you know, Bud Grant, the old coach of the Vikings, he always had the saying, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. Meaning, you know, you might play a really good team, but they might be missing their quarterback for that game. And so then it's, you know, they're obviously not nearly as good without him as with him. So that'll play a part in it too, but it probably does. It gives them a chance to maybe have, you know, finish this season with one or two more wins than they had last year, even if they're no better a team than they were last year.
Pete, do you have any other major predictions or things you'll be really keeping your eye on this season?
You know, you just try to soak it all in and figure out why they're either playing well or not playing well. You know, they've been one of the league's best teams going back to, you know, 2010 when they won the Super Bowl. Actually, you can say 09 because they were in the playoffs that year. And, you know, it's 80% of it is because they have one of the best couple quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, Thompson's done a pretty good job of keeping, you know, a good talented roster. Good enough anyway to keep them, you know, right in the top, you know, four or five in the NFC or and six or seven in the league every year. It looks to me like they're going to be pretty good this year, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they get at least to the NFC Championship. You know, you got some other teams: Arizona, Seattle, Carolina was in the Super Bowl last year. Those are the teams going in that look like the most dangerous, and that. You know, the Packers are right there, and if that defense is a little better, if Jordy Nelson is anything like he was last year, they signed Jared Cook, this tight end, in free agency, and it looks like he's going to help them a little bit. So if I, you know, I've got to make some predictions this week for our paper and website, and I'm going to have them going at least to the championship game. I just get the feeling that they're going to be pretty good this year.
Pete Doherty is a Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press-Gazette. To hear our full conversation, go to WPR.org. The Packers take on the Jacksonville Jaguars Sunday. Kickoff is at noon.